1 week ago, I was sitting at the Prince of Wales Theatre watching an awards ceremony, and I had no doubt at all that the lady about five seats to my left was going to win the prize for Best Newcomer. This was the Critics' Circle Awards, and it was Leanne Jones. It was probably the biggest shoo-in of every award on the night, or on the lunchtime, rather, with the possible exception of Hairspray, which won the Best Musical. Yeah. So, first of all, Leanne, welcome to Theatre Voice.
Thank you. Hi.
It is award season at the moment. You won the Critics' Circle Award for Best Newcomer. There's a rumour going around at the moment, which will be proved by the time this is listened to, that there are going to be something like 11 nominations for Hairspray in the Oliviers. I'm sure you can't either confirm or deny that. And that you, rather than being up for Best Newcomer Award, might be up for Best Actress or Best Musical Actress.
I don't know if there is a Best Newcomer Award, is there?
I'm not sure, but you've superseded it anyway, so you've done wonderfully.
Thank you.
This is just a really weird story. Little girls in the past would probably think they wanted to be Victoria Beckham, they wanted to be whomever, Kate Moss, one of these superstars. All of a sudden, there should be a new aspiration. I want to be Leanne Jones, because you're like a real person, and they're not.
Yeah, I always had the leaflets from musicals up on my bedroom wall instead of posters of boy bands or Spice Girls or anything, so this is what I've always wanted to do, and I used to cut the pictures out of the Sunday Times, you know, with the musical posters, and so this is what I've always wanted to do.
And you apparently came from nowhere. I mean, on opening night, there was this girl called Leanne Jones who was playing in Hairspray, and no one had heard of her. You look in the programme, and the biography almost isn't there. Mm-hmm. Surely you can't quite have sort of walked in off the street and said, look, I quite fancy doing this, and they said, have a go, darling, and you got the show.
No, it was a very, very long process, and I wanted to do this since I was 11 years old, and when I was, I did various clubs and drama clubs and dance clubs, and then when I was 18, I went to Mount View, so I did go to drama school, and I studied for 3 years musical theatre, and I got a degree at the end of it, and then I was out of work for a year and a half. I did two fringe musicals. One was called Enchanted, and that was up in Leeds, and it was like a rock musical, and it was on a big rock stadium in a park. It was really fun. And then the other show that I did was in April of 2007. Are we in 2008 now?
2008, yes.
All my months are rolling into one. 2007 at the Union Theatre, that was called A Karaoke Wedding, and they were kind of the only credits that I'd really had, but this is like my first professional role, so.
And how did you get into it?
This?
Yeah.
In 2005, I was still at drama school, and the stage newspaper was running an open audition advert in the newspaper, and it was for Tracy Turnblad, and it was the usual bio, like big girl, big heart, big voice, big hair, you know, and then it said you needed to be 5'3 or under, and you had to take a 60s pop song, and I'm much taller than 5'3, I think I'm 5'5", 5'6", and all my friends at college were like, oh, you have to go and look at this girl's photo on the internet, and so I went straight away and had a look, and then I went to the open audition, and I got through all the rounds on that day, and then I was called back for a recall, and there was more rounds and more cuts on that day, and then by the end of the day, I think there was about four of us left, maybe, and we were told that the next stage was to sing for the Americans, so that was like a month later. And then literally a couple of days before that was about to happen, the whole thing was postponed. So I was like, oh, you know, maybe it's not my time, and like, that's fine. I won't think about it anymore. And, you know, I graduated from drama school. And then a couple of months after that, the movie was coming around, and I was seen for a screen test. Just literally went in, there's a video camera, casting director. I sang the same songs and same scenes that I did for the other audition. Mm. And then that was it. And then I got a call in 2007. That was 2006. 2007, it was coming again. And I didn't want to get too excited. I was like, oh, this is not going to happen. But if I get an audition, I'll go. As I got my audition, I got through the rounds again. And then there was two big final recall days. And the first one, we were told it was the final. So we all went in. And by the end of the day, you know, there's a few of us left again. And I thought that was the final final. And then we got a phone call saying that there was another final, final, final. So we went for the last day. And yeah, that was the day, I suppose. I think I found out the next day after that. the day that changed my life anyway, basically.
It sounds like you're a girl in a thousand then, just from all the people who must have been up for this and gone for it.
I don't know, like, that recall in 2005, there was about 30, I think, or 40. The open audition, there was hundreds, but the first round of that was people in a lineup, and we, you know, people were turned away if they were too small or too big, too tall, too fat, too thin. So they were looking for a really specific size and look. Yeah, I'd say there's about 30, and then this year there must have been about 20, maybe. I'm guessing. I don't know. I didn't see many, but maybe there'd been more in the other rounds that I didn't see. So.
And there was no great TV show.
No, but I always said, like, if they'd done a Tracy TV programme, I would have gone up for it. I would have been first in the queue, I think.
And you'd undoubtedly have won it.
Maybe. I don't know. You never know, I think.
You said it's the day that changed your life.
Yeah.
Let's do the before and the after. So what was your life like before? The word is that you were working at the Halifax.
Yes, I was. I was working for the Halifax. I wasn't in a branch. I was in an office with a headset on, talking to mortgage brokers. But that year, I'd done all kinds of jobs. I'd been a teacher. I work in a jewellery shop in Liverpool Street Station. I'd been a cleaner, worked in a pub. But then I finally was temping, and I settled in this Halifax job, and they offered me a full-time job, so I just took it because I was financially in a pretty bad situation. And the auditions had run dry, and I just thought, I'll just do a year. Even if it's a year, then I'll give up and I'll go back to acting and, you know, and try another part-time job. But then, yeah, within a month of working there, I had to say to them, I'm really sorry, I have to leave now. So I did get my phone call while I was there, and it was in my lunch hour, and I was sick. And I was crying, and I wasn't allowed to tell them the reason I was upset. So they knew it was a happy reason, and they knew what I'd been auditioning for, but I wasn't allowed to say to them, yes, I've got the role. So I just went into the office and said to my boss, I've been sick, can I go home? And she was like, yeah, sure, go home. So I had the rest of the day off, and it was brilliant.
And within presumably a few months, or if not a few weeks, you found yourself at the Shaftesbury Theatre. Theatre, I might say, that seemed to be jinxed and has been for donkey's years.
Yeah, apparently it's got a curse. I think we've broken the curse.
You've definitely broken the curse. Yeah. You've probably lasted longer than anything in the last 20 years, I think, already, or very close to it.
The only other thing that's run has been hair. And it's quite funny that we're linked, you know, with hair, obviously, with that being the operative word. Mm. So maybe in the future, all shows that have hair in the title should come here and they'll have good luck.
Well, maybe a show that has the title of Hair and Spray in the title may just last forever, of course.
Yes, of course, yeah. Spray might be a lucky word as well. So,
how long are you signed up for?
Until October. I'm signed up for a year, so October 2008.
And tell us about that opening night. I was there, and I was on the other side of it. It's pretty emotional for me. What was it like for you? You never worked on a professional stage before, other than a couple of small performances in tiny fringe theatres. Mm. And all of a sudden, you're at press night with superstars in the audience.
Yeah.
The press lined up everywhere. What kind of experience was that?
It was incredible, but it was a bit of a whirlwind, to be honest. And I think, for me, the scariest thing was first preview, because obviously that was the first performance I'd ever done of this for an audience. So that was the night when my heart was racing, and I didn't even know if any words were going to come out of my mouth. Like, I couldn't even imagine singing the first word because I was so nervous. My heart was in my mouth. And also Jerry and Jack, who were choreographer and director, were in front of the curtain. And this was the open dress. They addressed the audience and said something like, I hope you realise the sound of that heartbeat is a certain person behind the curtain. Like we said about all of us, but that my heart in particular was racing. And the fact that they said that as well, 2 metres in front of me, but in front of the curtain, I was just like, oh my gosh, why did they say that? Because my heart is racing and I'm sure they can hear it. But the press night was just... It was amazing. And getting pampered at the end. I had my hair done and my makeup, and then put my dress on, and then going to the party was just great. It was just a dream come true, really.
Absolutely. Who did you model yourself on? Have you modelled yourself on anyone? Do you regard yourself as being a completely unique star? It's definitely a star.
Yeah, I don't know who I model myself on. I've got, like, musical theatre heroes. Like, Ruthie Henshaw is... lady that I've followed the most, I suppose, since I was 11, and someone gave me the 10th anniversary concert Les Mis video with Michael Ball in as well. So he's one of my heroes. Who else? Maren Mazzi, I suppose. These are from Broadway now, but I've definitely always idolised, you know, the leading Broadway and West End actresses, West End ladies, I suppose. And I used to watch the Hamish producer video, and like it's got lines through it, just rewind it. But yeah, I don't think I've modelled myself on anyone. I think I was encouraged to stay the big girl at college as well, because, you know, I understood, I suppose, quite early on that I could market myself in this way, and maybe eventually something perfect would come up for me. But maybe
this couldn't be more than perfect.
No, exactly. Which I think it's so fluky. I don't know. I thought that it was going to be a lot easier. I think I was mistaken. I don't know. Obviously, this might look as though this came easily, but there was for a while when there was nothing suitable for me, and I think it's just quite fluky that I am this age and this has come along now, and that the film came out before and gave us the amazing kind of fan base already.
But this was the new film.
The new film.
Because some old people, I shouldn't sort of mention any names, but some older people actually saw the old film
old
as well.
Film. Yeah, of course. The old film's got a big following as well. Like, I remember all the ladies I was working with at Halifax had heard of the old film more than they'd heard of the new film coming. But I mean, in terms of, because obviously that wasn't a musical singing film, whereas the fact that the new film came out with the songs in and all the kids know the lyrics and all the kids love Zac Efron. Has helped us, I think, as opposed to hindered us.
And what's it like playing? You opened up with Michael Ball and Mel Smith. I know Mel's just given way to Ian Talbot. What was it like playing with, well, people who presumably you knew from TV, you knew from childhood?
Just amazing. And they didn't kind of feel like the same people. Because I met them and I was starstruck. But then within a couple of weeks, they'd morphed into just people that I worked with and just my friends. So I don't know, I just have to keep pinching myself. When I looked in the mirror, me and Michael Ball were rehearsing Welcome to the 60s in like our t-shirt and joggers. I was just like, oh my gosh, soon we're going to be on a stage wearing really amazing dresses and with the spotlights on us. And at that point, I couldn't imagine how it was going to look. Remember the first time we came in for tech rehearsals and I had to put all the gear on and I put the wig on. I'd had the wig on for a photo shoot, but this just felt different. And then walk down onto the stage, because obviously the first moment of technical rehearsals was Good Morning Baltimore, so I was the first person to start on stage and everyone else was in the auditorium with their wigs and their costumes on, waiting to see what was going to happen. And I think I cried, I couldn't believe it. And I stood in the bed and they were like, and there was the director was on a big loud microphone speaker saying, okay, we're just going to go from the top and, you know, we may stop you, Leanne, whatever. So I started to sing and I just couldn't believe how loud it was, because obviously I had a mic on. And I think I corpsed as well. I mean, obviously I wasn't performing, but I started laughing, I started smiling, and then I just started crying. And everyone was like, woo, up in the auditorium. So that was a really special moment as well.
What do you think the future has ahead for you? You said you're going to be doing this at least until October.
Yeah.
The choice is presumably, have you kept the job at the Halifax Open?
No, I don't think so. I don't know if they'd have me back. I wasn't very good, to be honest. I don't think my heart was in it.
Do you expect to be doing this show for a long time? Do you want to go into movies? Do you want to be a superstar in some other musical? Have you thought ahead? Are you just happy to ride the wave at the moment?
I think I'm happy to ride the wave and just see what is available to me, I suppose, by the end of the summer, I suppose. I mean, I'd love to do this forever, but at the same time, I understand that I think my career, I would hope that it would move on as well. So I don't know what could be next.
Does film appeal?
Yeah, film. I'd love film or TV. I'd love to be a film. I'd love to be in a film. Not necessarily. I'm not saying a big celebrity where, you know, people follow me around and everything. I think I would hate that. But I'd love to study all of the mediums, really, and really work on my acting as well. So.
So would you like to do straight acting as well?
Yeah, oh yeah, of course. I'd love to do. A lot of the auditions I had last year were for straight plays anyway. They were kind of like even 50-50 that was auditioning for plays or musicals. So I think anything, really.
This is your opportunity to tell people what you like to do next.
Yes. I don't know. I'd quite like to be in a film with James McAvoy.
You were sitting very close to James McAvoy last Tuesday, weren't you?
And I didn't realise. And then when he got up to leave with Anne-Marie Duff, I was like, oh my gosh, that's James McAvoy. Oh my gosh, he was in the room the whole time and I didn't even speak to him. So I was a bit starstruck then.
I think you might be married to her as well, which may be a minor issue. But starring with him.
Exactly, starring with him. We still get to look at him. He's quite pretty.
Okay, I think Leanne Jones, that's wonderful. Thank you so much indeed. Really grateful.
Thank you very much. Thank you.